Episode 163, September 22nd, 2014.
Mike O'Mara Radio Entertainment.
This is the Rob and Joe Show.
The Dave Chappelle and Louis C.K. of Fire Hall Comedy.
The Rob and Joe Show.
Hey, this is the racist Rob and racist Joe Show.
Some of their best friends are black.
The Rob and Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to the Rob and Joe Show.
Come on, everybody, let's get to the brainstorming.
I've worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe show.
The Rob and Joe show.
Robbie Robinson does not get enough credit.
With a combined 73 firings, if you count marriages in the Baltimore Comedy Factory, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
This is my my favorite review we've ever gotten from someone on iTunes. It says, this is a great little write-up. There's chemistry, conflict, real comedy, laughs, and unapologetic bad etiquette here. Who knew that would be a recipe for a great podcast? Subscribe. You'll love it. That sums our show up pretty well. We should have written that, fellas.
Who wrote that? Graham,
that's
my dad?
Someone by JNH. Thank you, JNH.
Very nice.
Also, here's one.
I assume it's a hot chick. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, this one might be a hot chick. Holly Go Lightly. So glad I stumbled upon the show. It cracks me up. Thanks, Rob and Joe. Thank you, Holly.
That's got to be a chick. There's no way a dude would go by that name. Well, maybe like Robert Andrew.
Well, do you think this next one's a dude? It's by Too Legit to Shit. Which I think is awesome. It says Mike O'Mara backs another winner. Too Legit to Shit. Nice play on Too Legit to Quit, the classic MC Hammer song. Remember when that video came out, Joe? Too Legit to Quit. It was him.
Of course.
Yes. Like 19 minutes long.
I've actually still do the Too Legit to Quit every once in a while with the fingers. Two, L, two, and then put the hand, you know, the quit sign.
Do either of you know who Holly Golightly is?
Yeah, she's from Breakfast at Tiffany's, right?
Oh, good job, Joe.
Wow. This is Holly Golightly 327. So apparently that one's, there's a lot of Holly Golightlys out there. MC Hammer had one of the, he was like really super cool. And then like 2 years later, he was like a dork.
You like, can't name like, three MC Hammer songs.
100% chance I can.
Go ahead.
Turn This Mother Out, Too Legit to Quit, Can't Touch This.
I didn't know Turn This Mother Out was him. I was going to say That's Why We Pray. We got to pray just to make it today.
Yes. And then the Pumps and the Bumps when he's wearing like a Speedo.
You were a fan, it sounds like.
Yeah, of course I was
a fan. You bought his CD, don't lie.
I might have been his cassette, but yeah, I bought it.
Did you buy a single or did you go, you wanted the whole catalog?
I think I had the whole catalog. I think I have the Turn This Mother Out tape. I think I have that one. No, you were cool then if you liked them. You were like ahead of the game. You're like, it's like you liked Prince before like Purple Rain. Then you were cool.
I always buy one too many. I always buy too many. Like, oh, I love Terrence Trent D'Arby. Then you buy his next shitty CD. Yeah. I like The Outfield. I buy the next one. I'm always one too late.
Yeah. Terrence Trent D'Arby loved him. And then you kind of think this guy's going to have a huge career. And then just churned out shit from then on. What are you going to do? Welcome to the show, everybody. I believe we're 163 now. We're doing great. Big stuff coming up here. Robbie, you've got The Move coming up
this weekend.
Joe just worked with Josh Blue.
Yep.
But first, I guess we have to say something sad happened in the world of entertainment and radio. Eric the Actor, no longer with us.
Yeah, and I don't think anybody predicted his death, although which we are known to do.
And I don't mean our Eric the Actor. Because our Eric the Actor, who's a regular in our chat from day one, we thank him for that. Not very clever in coming up with a nickname for himself. Just stole the nickname of Eric the Actor from the Howard Stern Show, a much more successful show than ours. But he died, I believe, of heart complications. And our Eric the Actor is now changing his name, which I don't think you can do, Joe.
Well, that doesn't make any sense. If you're tributing, it's a tribute, your name, then once they die, it makes even more sense for you to be. Like, before, people were confused. People, meaning Chris Restivo, thought actually Eric the Actor was in our chat room. The real
Eric. Hey, how's it going?
Hilarious. And I like that. Well, Chris gets confused a lot. But now Eric, on Twitter, he was, you know, Eric the Actor 75 or something like that. He's Rodney 46 Big Break. It says, podcast fan, 46 is the age Roddy Dangerfield got his big break, and entertainers love that factoid, which is a funny line. But I'm not going to call you Rodney.
No, he's still Eric the Actor.
Yeah.
Yeah, he needs to. It's a tribute is a tribute. You stick to your guns.
Yeah, now it makes more sense to be called Eric the Actor.
Of course. Yes, because now there's no mistake.
Yeah, maybe he wanted the mistake, but I'm not. You're certainly not going to be Rodney to me. Right. Like, I still call him Cassius Clay. I never came in.
Right. If somebody is in the chat room as Joan Rivers, we're not going to be like, I wonder if that's her. No, now that'd be a tribute.
Yes.
Robin Williams, tribute. Makes more sense, Eric the Actor, or Eric the Actor.
And Robbie, you are by far the biggest Stern fan of the three of us. Did this death affect you?
Yeah, it was like John Lennon had been shot. I was so upset today.
Well, it's not like John Lennon had been shot.
In my world, it is.
No, I don't think so.
No, in my world, it really was that bad.
Imagine there's no heaven. You're telling me that this is on the bar of John Lennon being shot.
For me.
What was Eric the Actor's imagine? What was his, you know what I mean? What was his
tour de force?
Yes.
His shining moment.
Probably when he said, I'm club fucking footed, you asswipe.
That was yep. It.
Yes.
It's
very
a lot
John
like,
Lennon-like.
But
who is his Yoko? Steve-O just said in chat, he's a bigger Stern fan than Robbie.
No.
I don't. He has no idea who he's messing with. No. If he thinks he's a bigger Stern fan than Robbie,
no chance.
Chris Restivo wasn't even alive when Robbie started listening to Howard Stern.
You don't off the top of your head, Robbie, your top three most painful celebrity deaths in your lifetime.
It was somebody recently that died that really, really upset me more than I would.
Not Robin Williams.
That wasn't right. Robin Williams. It was somebody else.
Whitney Houston.
It was more recent than that.
Was it Philip Seymour Hoffman?
That one was bad, but no, that wasn't the one that I was.
Paul Walker.
No, I can't. I wish I could remember now. Because there was one that happened recently.
Daniel Day-Lewis is still alive, so we're okay.
Yeah. But this affected me as bad as any celebrity dying. Jimmy Stewart dying was upsetting to me.
Yeah, but he was an old man, Robbie.
I know, but I had an opportunity to meet him, and I always regretted that.
How did you have an opportunity?
When I interned at WRC-TV, Channel 4, I interned on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and he had been there on a Wednesday, and he'd interviewed upstairs, and I could have actually got up, got his autograph, and talked to him. So I was a little bummed.
He might still be alive if that happened. Now, Michael Jackson didn't affect you? Because Michael Jackson had, you know, he figured he had a couple more albums left in him.
That one I kind of was indifferent about, actually.
I'm pretty sure, I don't have three, but I'm pretty sure Len Bias, that was the most impactful death for me.
Yes. Yeah, I would agree with that. Being big sports fans, you being, you know, well, you hadn't gone to, you weren't at Maryland yet, right? But you were.
No, I was, actually, that was the summer before my, before I went into Maryland, and right after I graduated from high school, Robbie and I were together when he died. You remember where we were, Robbie?
Honolulu.
We were in Hawaii when he died.
Wow. Well, that's
only I had been home.
You were for vacation? What were you doing in Hawaii?
Yeah, our grandmother sent. Here's the deal. My grandmother, God rest her soul, she loved Robbie so much more than me. Think about this. She sent Robbie. Didn't she send you to Italy, Robbie, for your. I think she just sent you to Italy for the hell of it. That wasn't even for your graduation.
It was for my graduation, was Italy and Greece.
Right. So that's where Robbie went for his graduation. Where I went for my graduation was Hawaii with Robbie. Robbie got to go.
Okay.
So that was his graduation trip was to go to Europe, and my graduation trip was to take Robbie to Honolulu.
So he got two graduation gifts, his and yours.
Oh, he got a lot more. Yeah, Robbie. Yeah, he was. Robbie was the favorite. He got everything. He even got the salt and pepper shaker collection.
Well, good for you.
I looked forward to when Eric the Actor would come on that show with the kind of glee that you would reserve for your favorite comic. I mean, I would get so excited when he was on the air because it was just so funny to me.
I mean, we've had some comics die that have been, you know, pretty painful. Greg Giraldo, Patrice O'Neill, that died in the prime of their careers. I mean, those were losses, especially for us comedians. Very few comedians that we really love, and those were two for me, I would say, that were in the love category. But Eric the Actor, that's as bad as it gets for you, Robbie.
Yeah, you don't understand how much joy that guy gave me. And I also have personal interaction with him, too.
Well, all the comics that none of my favorite comics have passed.
Well, who are your favorite comics?
Meaning, like, Cosby's still alive, Newhart's still alive, Steve Martin's still... Well, Richard Pryor died, and Carlin, they're both dead. But honestly, they were kind of a little bit of a generation before me. Right. When I talk about when I've been in comedy and my contemporaries, I think they were a little bit before me. So once, when, you know, my favorites, right, the Jerry Seinfelds, I guess Cosby is even older than a generation before him, but... But yeah, I mean, Bill Burr, Louis C.K., you know, my favorites.
Now, well, Mitch Hedberg died. He would be our generation.
Yeah, but he wasn't one of my favorites. But Sam Kinison, he was your favorite, wasn't he, Rob?
He was my favorite. Yeah, growing up, that was my guy. When I first started comedy, I had a similar cadence, and then I would da-da-da-da-da, that kind of thing. So that, but yeah, and that was sad. But I don't know. I mean, I tend to not really care about anybody else but me.
Wikipedia deaths in 2014. They list him as Eric the Midget. He would not like that.
Oh, that's just wrong. That's just... Did Dan Ninen do that? Speaking of celebrity deaths, Joan Rivers died a couple weeks ago, and someone had posted on our, I believe it was our Twitter or our Facebook, at Robin Joe Show on Twitter, that we had predicted that because we had the curse here where we just randomly mentioned Robin Williams and then Suge Knight, and people will get shot at and killed. And we couldn't remember, but you've dug it up, Robbie, that you did predict her death.
Of course, he wants to get credit, which he deserves. Go ahead, Robbie.
Yes, back when we did our reality show Death Pool, where Joe predicted the death of Rodney, what's his name? Rodney King.
No, wasn't it? It was Whitney Houston first, right?
Yes, it was Whitney Houston first.
Then Rodney King. Yeah, 40% of my picks are dead.
It was impressive.
Thanks.
And at that time, I actually predicted Joan Rivers, although we didn't air my picks. We talked about it later. I have the clip.
All right, we'll play the clip.
Read Robbie's list.
Leif Garrett, drug user.
Right.
I don't know who this Sharon Fairless, Maz Roadhouse.
She's like 90 years old.
Yeah. She's 90. Ethan Zahn from Survivor has cancer. Right. Ozzy Osbourne, say no more. Joan Rivers, 130 years old.
Right. So he took one person that probably is funny, Joan Rivers. Everybody else has some sort of condition or affliction, and that's why he chose them. Wow, that's weird. The one person that you didn't use to try to skew the contest, she died.
Yeah.
Now, the guy from Survivor, is he dead?
All the rest of my picks are still alive.
The guy with the cancer, he's alive.
Yeah, even the oldest woman, who's 75, not in her 90s, she's still alive. I checked.
But collectively, we've gotten three deaths out of the 15 people we chose.
That's good. You don't want to be on the list.
Yeah. Well, you want me to pick you because everybody I pick lives.
They thrive.
Yeah, they go on. They prosper. Cheryl Underwood, comedian. You're familiar with her work, fellas?
Sure.
No, you're not.
Yeah, I am.
She's now she's on this show called The Talk. It's basically CBS's version of The View. It's a ridiculous show in that it has a combination of women that you just could never see hanging out. You've got the sassy.
You mean like Barbara Walters and Whoopi Goldberg? Is the other show so great?
Well, no, it's the same formula. Right. The Talk, The View, it's basically the exact same thing. But you've got Julie Chen, the Asian woman who's married to, isn't she married to the head of CBS or something?
Yes.
Yeah, she was a chick from Big Brother, right, Robbie?
Right. Yes.
Les Moonves.
So a billionaire woman that we have nothing in common with. You've got Sharon Osbourne, the older, still got it, gives the great advice, the British woman, everyone's mother. You've got the lesbian from that was the daughter on Roseanne.
Sarah Gilbert.
Yes. You've got Aisha Tyler, the sexy black woman. And then you've got the angry, sassy, mad, fat black woman in Cheryl Underwood.
Right.
It's a ridiculous combination of people, but it's a TV show. But I guess they had an episode where they were airing secrets, and Cheryl Underwood tells a secret. It's really not. It's really more about the other people's secret than her.
Yeah, right.
And that years ago, they had a comedy tour called the Kings of Comedy, which is a very successful tour with Steve Harvey and Dale Hughley and Bernie Mac, speaking of dead comedians. And
Cedric the Entertainer, right.
Yes. That was successful. I believe they had a concert movie toured, huge hit. Then they did the Queens of Comedy, same formula, but for a black woman, Monique, who's the most famous of the bunch now, some more, this woman, Adele Givens, and some other woman, I forget her name, I never really knew her, Laura something. Anyway, they decide to do another tour with the Queens of Comedy, and Monique has moved on to bigger and better things, and so they invite the promoter, invites Cheryl Underwood to be the fourth to replace Monique. So she calls in to this conference call. And this airs on The Talk this past week. And her telling the story airs. And she's on the conference call for they're all going to talk about, you know, the plans for the tour. And she's on mute. And the other three women on the tour, Samore and Adele Givens and this Laura woman, are talking about Cheryl Underwood. They don't know that she's on the line. And they're talking behind her back. They're saying things about her looks and her ability or lack thereof to be funny. And they're basically bashing her. So Cheryl Underwood never, you know, unmutes it, never lets them know that they're there. She sits there and takes it. It upsets her. She decides not to do the tour. And then 10 years later, she just tells this story, having never spoken to these women about it. So it's this great moment for TV and everyone. And then she makes it all, you know, I've been bruised but not beaten, and yay, women, we can overcome all this crap, and everyone's crying. It's a big emotional thing. But now the other women are responding, and now they're taking shots back at Cheryl Underwood.
Why?
Well, like Adele Givens. By the way, Adele Givens, this is, talk about a rise to fame off literally one joke. She was on Def Comedy Jam. She has big lips. She's talking about how big her lips are, about sucking dick, and there's a guy in the audience who heckles her, and she says, with your little ass dick, it'd be like giving a whale a Tic Tac. Crowd goes crazy.
Okay.
She blows up. This is before YouTube. And
giving
Twitter,
a whale, like, a Tic Tac?
That's the line, because her giving that guy a blowjob would be like giving a whale a Tic Tac.
No, I get that. Yeah. Something with a huge mouth, something tiny. I got it.
Yeah.
I mean, so that doesn't seem like a joke that would shoot you. This isn't Take My Wife, Please. I mean, this is not who's on first.
The crowd went crazy. They're jumping up and down. They're doing backflips. I mean, they re-aired it a million times. And she became famous all that. And I don't think she's ever done anything since then.
Right.
I mean, she's been on this tour, but I don't think she has any other joke anyone can memorize. So they kind of respond, but they never say this didn't happen. But my question is, what is the, if you're Cheryl Underwood, you're doing great, what is the angle here? Because if they come back at you and people start bashing you because you have some skeletons in your closet, now it just gets ugly. And who wins with this?
Oh, I don't agree. I mean, I understand not harboring that, right? So maybe you're like, either you have a problem and you speak up, or you don't say anything. You're saying she's doing this for the attention or whatever, but that was what was happening on the show. You had to do that. So,
okay.
I mean, she pulled a pretty big secret out, and, you know, I mean, listen, there was Monique won an Oscar 3 years ago, right? So, I mean,
well, Monique's not even involved. She wasn't on this conference call.
So, oh, I gotcha.
Yeah, it was the other three that were still on the tour. Cheryl was going to replace Monique. But if I'm these other three, all you have to do is say, you know what? I don't remember exactly, but, you know, sometimes we get together and we talk about people, you know, is it something I'm proud of? No. Much respect for Cheryl. I'm sorry she had to hear that. Great. So happy for her success. Then they all go on The Talk. They hug it out and everyone's happy and everyone's a winner.
Well, yeah, that's what people that aren't assholes do.
Right. But I think some of these people are assholes.
I'm sure maybe all of them or most of them. But I don't really have a problem with Cheryl Underwood. I mean, honestly, she could have made that public a long time ago. Now, she didn't, but it made sense that it was time to talk about it. By the way, are any of these women as big in comedy as she is?
No, Samoor would be the next biggest one. She is, has a recent special on HBO or Showtime. I can't remember. She tours. She's funny. I like her.
That's fine, but it's not like she's doing this to try to get, you know, name recognition with these other people. They're below her.
Yeah, but she's the one that has stuff to lose. See, Cheryl Underwood, I mean, she's someone that would, you know, I have people that work with her, friends, that she'll bring you back on stage when after you bring her up. And then she'll just sit there and just make fun of you. And you just have to stand there. You don't right. have to, she has the mic. The crowd's there to see her. So she just clowns on you and everyone's just laughing and pointing at you. You just have to sit there and take it like an asshole.
Yeah. I mean, I've had comics that have not done that to me, but have done, like, you know, Robert Schimmel, I've told the story. He was a dick. Mm-hmm. And more so that he would purposely have something in his hand so he wouldn't have to shake my hand when he went on stage. He wouldn't sit in the green room. He would sit in the room where they, you know, the computers were, where the CDs were.
Right.
Okay, well, that's fine. And then he also took some shots at Justin Schlegel, made a YouTube video while Justin was on stage. He's like, oh, this is my opener, blah, blah, blah. Just crapped all over. Meanwhile, you know, Justin's hysterical. So I get it if you don't like her. So I get that. But what she did there, I don't have a problem with. I don't.
I feel like that her telling of the story is accurate and that's what happened, but I don't know what is in this for her. Because if people start defending these other three and they start dishing dirt on Cheryl Underwood, she's the one that could lose a TV show. She's the one that has something that's real that could be tangibly taken.
Well, what if there's no dirt? What if the only dirt is that she's a bitch? Guess who else was a bitch? Rosie O'Donnell, who had a talk show that was successful. Roseanne Barr, who had a hit TV show, you know. I heard Ellen's awesome, but whatever.
Well, we were talking the other night, and we were, I was talking this with Katie, your girlfriend, and we were just talking about how is this is more of a female thing to do, to get around and talk about, to gossip.
Oh, yeah. The Acme, one of our sponsors, Acme Bar and Grill, one of the owners, Kevin Epley, wants to do a reality show from what he's experienced in working at a bar. And that's that. Whenever a group of girls get together and one of the girls is late, the other girls who are there just shit all over the girl that's not there yet.
Right.
So his idea is they film that, and then when the other girl gets there, they just play it for her, and then you just see what ensues, which is a great idea.
Yeah.
I can't remember. Somebody, it might have been Phil, goes, well, what happens if nothing happens? Yeah, Phil, my landlord, he says, what happens if nothing happens? I go, well, then you don't air it. He's like, oh, it's going to be a horrible show. They just all got along. We're still going to make a half-hour show out of it.
Well, Katie told us a story where she was in college and she had like some suite mates. A bunch of them lived in this house, this suite dorm thing. And three or four of the girls were just bashing this one girl, one of their roommates. And Katie was defending the roommate, unbeknownst to any of them. But the roommate is outside the door listening. So then the roommate comes in, is crying. But this is where it gets really bad. The roommate thought that some other girl was defending her, not Katie. So Katie's like, no, I was defending you. And she's like, no, you weren't. And the other girl who she thought was defending her that wasn't said, yeah, I was defending you. So it's just everyone's just shitting on
that each other. Yeah, but that's the worst person. The one person shit on the girl, then didn't get caught, and then shit on Katie. So she's your fellow.
That's the worst person ever.
That's the worst person alive. I believe it was Cheryl Underwood. I think it was her room.
I had a situation years ago. I was, I don't know, 12 or 13. My mom, I can't remember if she was already remarried or she was engaged, but her parents, my grandparents, were in town from California visiting, and they were talking to my soon-to-be stepdad, and I was thought to have been in bed, and I start walking down the stairs, not to sneak up on anyone.
Sure. Hi, Grandma, Grandpa. All
right. Right. And I hear them talking about my dad, my mom's ex. And the grandparents, her parents, are basically bashing my father to, you know, my soon-to-be stepdad. So, of course, now I'm going to listen. And it really upset me, right?
I'm sure, like, it did.
At the time, like, my dad was like the hero. Because, and maybe looking back, maybe the things they were saying were right. But, you know, in my mind.
Did you find out anything about your dad that you didn't know?
I found out things, you know, talking about just, you know, failing in some business ventures that I didn't know about, but I'm sure it was accurate. But no, it was just, you know, he was like, you know, you see someone every few weekend, every now and then you go to the movies, you play basketball. How could that person not be perfect to you? But then, you know, someone is a real person. They have flaws.
My God, he failed at business. What a dick.
But they were just shitting on him. And I never walked in and said, hey, I'm here. And I just went up to my bed and just was upset about
cried.
It. I don't think I ever told anyone.
Well, my guess is that there are some conversations like that about me out there. That's just some speculation.
100% chance.
There's probably a couple of those that have gone on.
As we speak, probably.
Hey, guys, the other celebrity death that really upset me was Casey Kasem. I talked about it on this show.
That's right. That's right.
That just happened, too. You did mention that. Yeah.
I'm sorry, Robbie. I really am.
Yeah, I'm sorry. This has been a tough few weeks for you. Hang in there, bud. Let's take a break. We'll come right back. Robin Joshua.
So when you get to the corner of Smith and Orchard, you're going to want to take a
you
left.
You are not going to
Then what you're
going to
do is turn onto Martin
C.
Red Avenue.
Just broke up.
And go past and the first three
she's
lights
happy about
and then
it.
Take the next left.
I don't really
drive
think
five
she's
more
happy,
blocks,
but
you should be
who
there.
Am I to judge, right?
Park
anyway,
on the right. That's
I'll
what
see
I
you
heard
later
last
tonight.
Night.
It's hard to concentrate on two things at once, like texting and driving. Stop the texts, stop the wrecks. How will you stop texting and driving? Tell us at stoptextstoprex.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ag Council.
The Rob and Joe Show.
That PSA is for you, Joe.
Thanks. I have one texting and driving ticket and one I got out of it. I'm not supposed to say the name, but let's just say there's a certain radio personality who has a certain girlfriend who happens to be a Howard County cop who let me off. Thank you, certain radio personality's girlfriend.
Thank you, person. We will go nameless. You had a good weekend at the Arlington Cinema and Draft House.
I did. I love that room. One of the unfortunate things for me is it's so far away, right? It's an hour away. I'd like to do that. The side room more because it's such a great room. But right. I got to feature for Josh Blue, and Josh Blue's a funny guy. Have you ever seen him?
No, Josh Blue he won Last Comic Standing a few years ago.
2006, yeah.
He's got cerebral palsy.
And he won Last Comic Standing. Now, let me just say this before I start. The second day, there was nobody there to do what they call voice, but that's the announcements at the beginning where you're like, welcome to the Baltimore, you know, I'm sorry, welcome to the Arlington Draft House, Cinnamon Draft House. You guys ready to have a good time? That's what you do. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, I am literally the worst in the world at it, right?
Right.
Well, here's your choices. It's this guy, Philippe Schaefer, who's been doing comedy for not very long. And, you know, he's the MC and he's not equipped to do it. And then there's Josh Blue, who's got CP. He's clearly not equipped to do it. So they literally come in and go, Joe, will you do voice? And I immediately say, I will. Now, I'm not. This is what you do. Right. That's
and
why
and
I have.
And you. I hate doing it, too.
And I literally get up there and I'm the first time I'm awful. So.
And this is from off, people don't see. This is from off stage.
I'm off stage.
I wish we had tape of it.
Oh, Robbie, it was so bad. Now listen, it was so bad that the poor MC, he didn't have a great set. And I guarantee you it was a direct result of me going, and this is this guy. And he comes out there and they're just like, okay, this is going to be a joke. And then finally he gets him enough. And then I go out there and I kill it because, you know, he had to
but
do
if
all the
he would have shit on you immediately, that probably would have helped his set.
If he would have, I don't think he knows to do that. And I wouldn't have cared. I deserved
it. Do that,
it.
Philippe.
But yeah, well, I didn't mean to screw him over. I just did.
Right. Right.
So that was the first show. Second show, I go, oh, good. Somebody will be here to do it. Said Pete, the guy who I guess he's a manager there, comes back and goes, hey, do you mind doing it again? And I felt like going, well, didn't you hear what happened the first time? You really want me to do this again? So I'm there again. Now, here's what I say. I go, you can see him on, I'm introducing Josh Blue, and I'm about to see. I go, you can see him on Last Comic Standing. Of course, you can't. That was 8 years ago, right? So I go, you can see him on Last Comic Standing if you had a time machine and went back to 2006. The winner that year, put your hands together for your head. I had to literally ad lib because I had just said you can see him on a show that he hasn't been on in 8 years. It's the equivalent of saying you can see him on Happy Days. Put your hands together for Henry Winkler. I mean, it's just so bad, right? So anyway, bring him up. But I have really good sets.
You can hear him on Irresponsible Radio. Give it up for Joe Robbins.
And so I had really good sets. But there's a couple things. The first thing is that Josh Blue, I don't think that this is something that he keeps a secret. I've seen some weed smokers in my day, but not like this guy. This guy walked in, and it's almost like, what are you going to do about it? Literally, that's his attitude. Yeah. I walk in, I'm the last person in the green room, and there's a big, it's an ounce of weed minimum that's sitting there on the table. Now, what's funny is he flew there from Colorado. So he flew with this marijuana. He's almost like, well, I got CP. What are you going to do, search me? So no, he gets to walk around with drugs because he has CP.
That sounds fair.
And I agree. I mean, listen, at least weed's going to be legal in 2 years anyway, and all this stuff's going to be stupid. But the weed is sitting there, but I guess he didn't want to fly with paraphernalia, which I think is weird. Like, you'll fly with the drug, but you won't fly with a pipe, which your pipes are legal. You could just bring a regular pipe.
Maybe that's where they draw the line.
I don't know. But anyway, so what he's doing instead is he's smoking out of an apple. Yeah. And, of course, my first question is that a Honeycrisp? Because, you know, I love Honeycrisp, but it's not. He said he grew this apple. That means he traveled with the apple. He said he grew it on his, he has like an apple tree. And he smoked nonstop. And he never stopped smoking. I admired that. So the other thing that you don't know about him is that he has CP, but he also has a huge handicapped following because people, I guess, like, hey, he has a joke. It's pretty funny. He goes, people tell me how inspirational I am. He goes, I just tell jokes. He goes, meaning if you tell me I'm inspirational, it means if I was you, I'd kill myself. It's basically what you're saying, right? Well, I didn't realize how many people were disabled in the audience, and I'm literally going out into the audience doing what I always do, crowd work, and just shitting all over people. And you know damn well, because I had a really good set. I had a really good set on Friday, really good set in the green room, really good set the first show on Saturday. So I'm out.
The green room is another comedy.
Yeah, side room at the side. Right at the
not to be confused with the actual green room where Josh Blue had the apple in the lead
and had the green right.
Yeah.
So. Of course, well, you know, I'm so insecure. I need to go out and let people walk by me and tell me how great I was. I'm definitely going to do that. So I'm standing out there, and I realize every single person I took shots at was handicapped. I mean, almost without fail.
And they're walking by you slowly because they can't help it.
So. Some of them are rolling by. Some of them weren't able to walk by. So that happened. Now, here's another thing. I've said something in my private life many times because I have two boys. And if you listen to the show, you know that. But I have two sons. And I'm definitely happy I have sons because I think that it's easier to raise boys. And I've said a million times to people, I said, look, I said to my wife when she got pregnant, I don't care what we have as long as it's a boy. Now, clearly the joke is you think I'm going to say I don't care what we have as long as it's healthy. That's the joke. I've never said that on stage, but I was talking to this couple. They had a boy and she was pregnant and they were going to have another boy. So I thought it made sense. But then I realized I'm saying in front of an entire a group that's probably 20% disabled, what they believe to be, I don't care what, as long as it's not you. It's not like you. I don't want them in a wheelchair like you are to have CP like you have. So that's not the last mistake that I made. I also have a joke where I say, it's a joke about me getting a vasectomy and where I go to the Burger King to get a sample of, you know the joke, whatever. It doesn't matter to our audience. But in one of the lines, I go out and I get a brochure from the Burger King, and on the brochure is a hot redhead and a hot Asian chick, but also on there's an old guy and a retarded kid. And I say retard. I literally say retard. I've already effed up seven times, and now I've just said retard in front of a group that's probably about 20% handicapped.
So you didn't get laid?
Not only did I not get laid, I'm telling you, I actually, that was the best set that I've had, and I had two killer sets before that. But the Saturday early show, I had a great set, and that was the set where I was so insensitive. But one more thing I'll tell about this show, which is really funny. The guy, Philippe, by the way, Philippe was doing something I'd never seen in my life before. He was doing chemistry homework in the green room. The green room meaning the room where the comics went. He was doing chemistry.
So you got one guy smoking weed out of an apple and the other comic doing chemistry homework.
That's right. One wanted to put chemistry in his body and the other one wanted to solve formulas. Anyway, he said to me after the second set, and I had like A+C. Those were my sets, right?
Right.
But after my last set was just a really kind of an average set. He comes up to me and he goes, yeah, I knew your crowd work wasn't working because I heard you out there telling your jokes.
I think the better way to tell that, and you could tell us as a joke about the having a baby,
right,
is to say, you know, I don't care as long as it's a healthy kid that happens to be a boy. But bum, then you take your pause break. That's the way to tell that joke. It'll punch better that way. I worked with this guy years ago. This guy, I can't remember his name, but he was in a wheelchair, and he was headlining this show. We were down in Norfolk, Virginia, this Comedy Zone, and the guy who was one of the managers or owners of the bar club was taking us to do radio, and we're in the elevator, and the guy says, you know, I was always, you know, people were debating the other day, well, what would you rather have? You know, what's more important, money or your health? And I mean, you're really asking this question in front of this guy who's handicapped. And the guy, the non-handicapped guy says, yes, I think I pick money. I'm like, are you fucking serious? This guy, you're going to say this in front of this guy that health is not the most important thing. Super, super awkward. let me check out the chat room.
Southern Bell has come back to us, and of course, Gramps is very excited.
I would like Gramps to rank all the women between Southern Bell, between Tawanda, Katie. Who are the other women that he talks about? Does he know your girlfriend enough now, Robbie, to rank her?
Yes.
Okay, so we can mention that.
But he doesn't shamelessly flirt with her.
Well, nah, he's got respect. He respects you, just like your grandmother did. Robbie, you kind of scared us before the show because you said that you have some health concerns.
Well,
some health issues.
I've self-diagnosed.
That sounds shady.
I've had 3 times in my life a bad reaction to mushrooms.
Okay.
And so I get violently ill. Very bad digestive problems. I won't go into detail. You can imagine.
Please don't.
And 3 times it's happened in my life, and it happened just this past week to me again. And it's
why do you keep eating mushrooms?
And it's called, well, I didn't know. I thought it was just canned mushrooms that were the problem. But I mean, I was laid up for a week.
You're allergic to mushrooms?
No, that's the funny thing. It's not an allergy. It's called mushroom intolerance.
Is that the name of this episode?
No.
Jeez.
It's called mushroom intolerance. If you have a mushroom allergy, that's life-threatening, and it's respiratory. If you have a mushroom intolerance, that's just gastrointestinal. It's just digestive. And so I thought it was just canned mushrooms I had a problem with, because that's what happened when I was laid up for a week the previous 2 times. But we were eating at the Thai restaurant, my girlfriend and I. We had the identical meal. So,
and well, stop. First of all, who gets at some sort of Asian restaurant, you get different meals so you can exchange and have a little bit of both.
We had the same soup, and then we ordered 2 entrees and we shared.
That's ridiculous.
Why is that ridiculous? We got 2 entrees and we shared them.
But the same, you got the same entree.
No, we got the same soup, but
okay,
2 different entrees.
I misunderstood.
It was the soup that had the mushrooms in it.
I got you. You got the same soup. And I stand corrected.
And I looked in the soup and I said, oh, they're fresh mushrooms. They're fine. And then, and this is a very, very hard thing to diagnose because the reaction happens many hours after you've eaten the mushroom. So a lot of people never figure out that they have this. Now, I told Tish about this, who's a nurse, my stepmother, and she said that a mushroom intolerance could turn into a mushroom allergy. You got to stop eating mushrooms.
I'm sorry, dude. Sorry about that.
Don't apologize. Did this hit you when you were making love to your girlfriend? Because I know you'll make love for 3-4 hours.
No, we were laying on the couch watching television, and I said, I can't move. The room is spinning.
By the way, I was apologizing that he had a mushroom allergy. I apologize for nothing else.
Mushroom intolerance.
Intolerance, not allergy, Joe. It's a mushroom intolerance.
Did you give did you get a doctor's note for work?
No, but I did miss Monday last week.
No, okay. Well,
and you're already stressed out about how busy you are.
Yes.
Now you're missing, you know, 20% of the work week, and you can't have something you love, mushrooms.
Correct.
Joe, what else is going on? Oh, yes. I remember last week we talked about how, you know, you're concerned. You just moved in with to Phil's place.
Dude, it's bad.
And now he has a girlfriend, and you're thinking that, you know, eventually she's going to want the place to herself, which is her and Phil.
Now, you know, Phil, landlord Phil, he was single for a year and a half. When I say single as you can get, he wasn't dating at all. Mm-hmm. He was playing poker, drinking, watching sports. That's all he did for a year and a half.
It's not a bad life.
No, it's a great life. Yeah. But I'm like, oh, well, this is cool. And Phil's a good friend of mine. So I'm like, cool. I'll move there. I'll live there forever. I'm like, you and Todd Moore, I'll live there forever. And the second I get there, I think the next day was their first date where she stayed. I might be wrong about that. Then she's been here like every other day. They're out right now.
I came by Sunday night. I got to meet her. She's a lovely girl.
Awesome. It's nothing to do with her. But if something should befall her, that'd probably be helpful to me. But it's nothing against her. She's very nice. And the problem, though, is that they have too much in common. They both love alcohol. We talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
Then today, Monday's her day off, right? She works at two bars, I think. Mm-hmm. And Monday's her day off. You know where she spent her day off?
At your place.
Bars. She was in bars, actually. Yeah. Oh, nice. She had to do some sort of bar thing at 1 o'clock. And when I came home, Phil was going to meet her at bar number three, and they were heading to bar number four. Can you imagine loving your work so much that when you weren't at work, you just went there anyway?
I think they're hitting it off. Though is she coming and going and is in the place as she pleases now? Like she lives there?
So it's interesting because her clothes are all over the floor of Phil's room, right? That's not good. And she has a key now. I mean, that's because she had to lock the door when she left today. But I mean, you think how do you ask for it back?
That's it. You can't. Once you give the girlfriend has the key in her hand, you can't ask for it back.
Yeah. So now she has a key and she can just come and go. But again, it's fine. I mean, I like her except for when Phil comes and he's like, hey, dude, can we talk? I swear to God, if he kicks me out in like 3 months, that's going to piss me off.
See, this is the problem, though, with this relationship from Phil's standpoint. Well, from hers as well, is that when you are with someone that you have a lot in common, that it's obviously good. It's easy to get along and have shared interests. But if you break up, and a lot of times, you know, when you break up, it could be a hard thing. Now, everything that you like to do reminds you of that person.
Yeah.
So the bar he likes to frequent, well, that's where he met her. Who stops going there? He loves the Redskins. She loves the Redskins.
You're right.
Well, every time a game's on, every time they talk about the Redskins, which is all the time, going to think of her.
They love drinking beer. Dude, listen to me. I'm telling you. Like, you know, almost like, what do you wake up thinking about? Seriously. Now, you can say Tawanda, but less after Tawanda. What do you wake up thinking about?
Just what I have to do for the day, basically.
I wake up right now thinking about the Orioles.
Okay.
I do. I wake up. Like, there's something that you're like, this is what is going on that I love right now passionately. I wake up thinking about the Orioles. These two wake up thinking about beer. They love beer. I'm telling you, I went out with them and they're drinking these, you know, they're like syrup beers. You know what I'm talking about? Like when you and they're like, oh, this is a hops and blah, blah, blah. You know, they love beer. Phil gets a magazine about beer, reads about beer. You imagine you love drinking beer. You just drink one. You don't have to read about it. Just drink beer.
They're perfect for each other. Yep.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go and I'm going to take a picture of, I think it's called Draft Mag. I might be wrong about that, but it's on the coffee table, which you should call a beer table in this house.
Yeah.
And I'm going to take a picture of it and we can put it up on Rob and Joe Show, the Rob and Joe Show Facebook
page. Let's do that. Maybe we can get them to sponsor. We have a little ad for that magazine.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah. I mean, Phil is probably only 9 readers, so Phil can just, they probably know him by name.
Subscriber 9.
Well, the thing is, like, what if, you know, God forbid if Tawanda and I ever break up, you know, I'm not going to watch HGTV anymore. I'm never going to be reminded of her. Yeah, I'm not going to see the Property Brothers and think, oh, man, I miss Tawanda. No, because I'm never going to watch the Property Brothers.
What is it? What's your thing that's going to remind you of Tawanda that's going to make it tough?
Black people. just an entire race of people.
Josh Blue said something funny. You know what the biggest minority group in the world is?
What's that?
Disabled people. And he said it's the only one of the minority groups that you can join at any time.
Well said. Let's wrap this up. I know we've had some short shows here the last few weeks. We apologize for that. It's just complications with life. Robbie moving. Joe moved. a lot of things going on, and it just makes it easier for us to get this edited and out to you as quick as possible if we tighten the shows up a little bit. But here, come October, we'll get back in the full swing.
Quality, not quantity.
Exactly. Quality, not quantity. Yeah. And I know we keep talking about it, but we're going to churn out this best of here sometime here in the fall, which is going to be it's going to be good. You know, obviously, if you're new to the show, it's going to be really good for you because you haven't heard any of these clips. It'll be best of our season year three. A best of one and two are already out there. Check them out on our Podbean page. And, of course, keep up the reviews on iTunes. Great stuff this week. God bless you, Too Legit to Shit. And follow us at Rob and Joe Show. Stitcher rankings have been rising. We love the Stitcher. It's a great podcast app, a great interface. If you listen on Stitcher, please add us to a playlist. We hit over the 100 mark, so thank you for that. And thank you for all the TMOS love out there. A lot of the people on the fan pages have been supporting us, and we love it. Marcus Serta, you're not really framing the episodes that well. I feel like you could do a better job at that. You know. But whatever, we'll talk about that another
time. Can we give a shout out to Morse Burgers?
Yes, yeah, Morse Burgers, the Chris Restivo dive bar that Chris loves to go to. The other night, we go to Coco Linus, open mic by my house that I love. Joe and Phil are there, and Joe gets on Facebook and checks in at Morse Burgers as if we're there, and he tags myself, Phil, and Chris's girlfriend, Chrissy.
That's right. And then Phil actually went to Morse Burgers and had a beer with Chris Restivo. Landlord Phil and Chris Restivo. That's good to see people, show people that are getting together.
Yeah.
Without even us involved.
I like it. Let's keep this thing growing. That's the show. We'll see you next week. Later, guys.
Later.
The preceding program was brought to you by Moore Broadcasting. For more information, visit us at morebroadcasting.com.